Tam nirvyajam vajagunani te pavanam pavananam shatarajyam matir atitanam uttamam shlokam avim projyannanta karanakuhade antayam namahanur abhaso pikshapayati mahapaktakatantarashim omotam timirandasya kinanjanam salakaya Shakshunyitam Jaina Tasmaya Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mamahustam Sthapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Bhuta Pada Maityam Tathati Sukhalantika Vandeham Shri Gura Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Shakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Jutam Sanchivam Sādvaitam sādhutam pravijanāsahitam kṛṣṇa-caitanya-devam Sri Radha Krishna Paranam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhadvitāścaya Ekṛṣṇa karana sindham kīna mārta vijakvate Gopesha gopika kanta Radha kanta namaste Takta kāpṣana gaurangi Radhe Vrindavani Shri Prashadhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Devi Vanchanko Patru Pyascha Kupasuto Vedaja Padita Nam Pavanipyo Vashnave Pramunama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasai Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We're reading a discussion between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya has asked, how will all these fallen souls be delivered? The yavans, those who are outside the Vedic culture or bereft of the Brahminical culture, who are involved in cow killing and nasty behavior, how will they be delivered? And the Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, says that no, they'll be delivered by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, even if it's done indirectly. He's told the story of the Yavana who was passing school and at that time was gored by a boar. And he died chanting, Haram, Haram, which means this is abominable. But Lord Ram took it that he's chanting my holy name. Ha, address it, Ha Ha Prabhu Nandashut. So Ha Ram, O Lord Ram. So he was delivered. So even when chanted improperly or to indicate something else, or by accident, somehow or other, if someone chants the holy name of the Lord, he'll get spiritual benefit. So now, Kaviraj Goswami is quoting from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, O reservoir of good qualities, just worship Sri Krishna, the purifier of all purifiers, Pavana Pavana. The most exalted of the personalities worshipped by choice poetry. Worship him with a faithful, unflinching mind, without duplicity, and in a highly elevated manner. Thus worship the Lord, whose name is like the sun. For just as a slight appearance of the sun dissipates the darkness of night, saw the slight appearance of the holy name of Krishna, can drive away all the darkness of ignorance that arises in the heart due to greatly sinful activities performed in purified in previous lives. Yannamapano apasa api shapayati mahapataka. Apasa means a slight appearance. Nama apasa, slight appearance of the holy name. And the example is given, the slight appearance of the sun. We experience that at dawn, before the sun even rises, already the darkness of night is dispelled. You can start to see things. You can, you can navigate. Even before the sun comes up, the darkness is gone. So even before the holy name is fully manifest, if it's just slightly manifest, it can drive away all the darkness that arises in the heart because of mahapataka, greatly sinful activities. So powerful, the holy name of Krishna. Therefore, no one should think that the glories of the holy name are exaggerated. These are factual descriptions. It's not an ordinary sound vibration. Not that by mental speculation people have made up these stories about the holy name. Actually, the potency is there. Nama paso hete vai shamshaya kshoy. Even a faint light from the holy name of the Lord can eradicate all the reactions of sinful life. And now Kaviraj will give evidence. Riyamano harir nama rinam putro pachaditam ajamilo piyagad dham kimbhuta shrathayad rinam. Riyamano, while dying, ajamilo chanted harinam, harir nama rinam. He chanted the holy name of the Lord. Putra upacharitam. Actually, he was calling for his son. He wasn't chanting, "Oh Lord, I'm dying." He was calling for his son. "Oh, my son." But, fortunately, his son was named Narayan. So, Ajamila was chanting the holy name of the Lord. And therefore, Agattham, he attained the Lord's kingdom, the spiritual world. Even though he was chanting unconsciously or negligently, without any thought of Lord Narayan. Kim uta shrathaya rinam. And what to speak of those who chant shrathaya with great faith? If you get such a result by chanting negligently, what result will you get by chanting seriously? The same argument is given in regard to Putana. If she got such a result by approaching Krishna as a demoness, the result being that she was transferred to the spiritual world, then what kind of result, what kind of destination do we find for the devotees like Yashoda Mai? Little motherly affection was shown by Putana fraudulently. She posed as an affectionate mother, although actually her intention was to kill the child. But somehow or other, because she took the role of a mother, Krishna accepted, yes, she's my mother. And, all right, back to God. So if even Putana got that kind of a mercy from the Lord, what kind of mercy does a devotee like Yashoda Mai receive from the Lord, who's always absorbed in love for Krishna? who can imagine even what kind of mercy she gets from Krishna when even Putana gets such inconceivable mercy. So the same sort of argument is being given here, that Ajamil was chanting negligently. He was chanting Narayan, and his only purpose was, oh my son, my dear son of that prostitute that I'm involved with, shacking up with. Oh my son Narayan. And by chanting in that way, he got liberation. Then what to speak of a person who's seriously chanting, oh Krishna, calling for Krishna, calling for Krishna's internal energy with faith, with love, with all seriousness, with attention. What sort of destination will such a person achieve? And even a Jamil attain liberation. And that also in spite of so many sinful activities. The Yamadutas were appalled. This guy is not in our jurisdiction. If he's not in our jurisdiction, who is? Look at his record. He's done everything. Everything's sinful. He's done. Abandoned his wife, young, dependent wife, gave up all his rabbinical training, took to stealing and everything. And still, no, not in your jurisdiction. Krishna Guru's king. Why? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Chanting the holy name of the Lord is not your business anymore. He's free from all sinful reactions. This is beyond fair. According to fairness, it's all balanced. You did this, you did this, you did this, you did this, and you never said you were sorry, you never atoned, you never. So, you take it to highest court of appeals and you'll say, no, I'm sorry. But he chanted Hare Krishna, he chanted Narayan. Oh, wiped out. No sinful reactions. Take him back to God. What kind of mercy is there for the person who's chanting seriously and sincerely? Ajamil, of course, was not thinking that I'll do everything sinful and I'll chant Hare Krishna. The holy name is so powerful that I'll have my cake and eat it too. He wasn't considering, he was just chanting. Otherwise, Namnat Balavyasirita, to commit sinful activities with the idea that I'm a devotee, I'm chanting, Krishna will excuse me. No, that's most sinful. But Ajamil was not doing that, he was chanting, that's so sinful. Ignorantly, negligently, but without any intention of taking advantage of the holy name and using it for a tool for sense gratification. He wasn't doing that. He therefore got liberation by Namabhas. Not exactly the full holy name of the Lord, but just the hint of the holy name. It was indirectly chanted. Haridas Thakur is giving evidence. Nama Pashe Mukti Hoy Sarvashastra Deki Sri Bhagavate Tate Ajamila Shakshi. Because of even the faintest rays of the effulgence of the holy name of the Lord, one can attain liberation. We can see this in all the revealed scriptures, Sarvashastra Deki. The evidence appears in the story of Ajami in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shuniya Prabhur Shukha Parai Antare Punarabhi Bhangi Kori Puchaye Tahara. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this from Haridas Thakur, the happiness within his heart increased. But still, as a matter of course, he inquired further. Prithivite bahujiv stavara jangam iha shabar ki prakare vayate mocha. Prithiviti bahujiv, on this earth there are many living entities, some moving, some not moving, stavara jangam. Iha shabar ki prakare vayate mocha. What will happen to them? To the trees, the plants, the insects, the other living entities, how will they be delivered from material bondage? All right, the human beings will be delivered by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Somehow, if they chant, the General Motors makes a van. I don't know if it's here, but in America, it's a Dodge Ram. So somehow or other, if they chant Ram, they're benefited. And then there's Mantra Rama, and there's this Rama, and that Rama. So many kinds of Ramas. Even Pornorama or something. Let's still look at the video. Somehow Rama is there. The reservoir of pleasure, but it wasn't the one they were thinking about. But somehow if they're chanting Ram, they'll be delivered. But alright, that's alright for the human beings. But what about the insects? What about the trees? What about the plants? The moving and non-moving entities other than the living, not the human beings. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's so kind, he's concerned about them also. Haridasa Kohe, Prabhu, She Kripa Tamar, Stavara Jangama Age, Pariyache Nishtar. Haridasa Thakur replied, my dear Lord, the deliverance of all moving and non-moving living entities takes place only by your mercy. She Kripa Tamar. You've already granted this mercy and delivered them. Tumi ge kariyacha e uchchasam kirtam sthavara jangamir she hoita shravam. You've loudly chanted the Hare Krishna mantra. Uchchasam kirtam, loud chanting. And everyone, moving or not moving, has benefited by hearing. Shunya jangamir hoy shamshar kshoy sthavare she shabdalage pratitvani hoy. Hearing, my Lord, the moving entities who've heard your loud sankirtan have already been delivered from bondage to the material world. And after the non-moving living entities, like the trees hear it, there's an echo. Pratidvani nahi. Pratidvani nahi she kore tirta. Tomar kripar e akatya kratam. Actually, however, it's not an echo. It's the kirtan of the non-moving living entities. All this, although inconceivable, is possible by your mercy. There's the Lord is loudly chanting, and it appears that there's an echo, but Haridas Thakur said, no, the non-moving living beings are also chanting. Somehow they're buzzing with some kirtan. Even we see that there's in physics or something, if there's loud vibration, then even the matter vibrates, right? Isn't that how it works? Because sound is pressure. So if the pressure is exerted against, for example, the wall, then the wall vibrates sympathetically. So when you're chanting Hare Krishna, the walls are chanting. Everything is whole, flutters, subtly influenced by the vibration. So there's this echo. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And there's this echo. And Haridas Thakur says the echo is the Nabu of living beings who are chanting. Shakala Jagate Vai Uchta Sankirtam Shunina Prema Beche Majesh Tavana Jangam. From loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is performed all over the world by those who follow in your footsteps. All living entities, moving and non-moving, dance in ecstatic devotion, love. A very nice instance of Srila Prabhupada's way of translation. There's a scholar who's also done a translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I happened to see it a few days ago. He's written some learned essay or something. He's given a translation. And the translation, maybe the main feature of it is that he's preserved some feel of the grammar of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And usually each line is grammatically separate. So his translation follows the grammatical pattern of the Bengali. Okay. But he doesn't have what it takes to do this kind of translation. Let's look at it. Shakala Jagate Vai Uchta Sankirtam. All over the universe, Shakala Jagate Vai, there is Uchta Sankirtam. Loud chanting, loud Sankirtan. All over the universe there's loud Sankirtan. Shunya Prevameshe Naches Tavra Jungle. Hearing this, all the living beings, moving and non moving, dance in ecstatic love. Now, here's what a realized translation looks like. When loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is performed all over the world by those who follow in your footsteps, all living entities moving and not moving, dancing in ecstatic love. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. It includes the chanting of the devotees who follow in his footsteps. That's Prabhupada's realizations coming through on the page. Deep realization of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement spreads. A scholar can't do this. A scholar will even say you shouldn't do this. This is not there in the text. This is an interpolation. Okay. So the dry scholars won't like it. We don't care. It's dry scholars are not going to chant and dance. They're going to miss. They're studying Chaitanya Charitamrita, but will they chant Hare Krishna? No. Will they dance? No. Will they follow four regulative principles? No. Will they fall down before the deity and offer their humble obeisances? No. Will they do a literal sort of translation? Yes. Will it have much potency? No. Will people all over the world be enthusiastic about distributing it in every town and village? A few libraries, that's all. Yoche Koila Jharikande Vrindavan Jayate Balabhadra Bhattacharya Kariyachin Amate. My dear Lord, all the incidents that took place while you were going to Vrindavan through the forest, known as Jharikhanda, have been related to me by your servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. All these incidents mean Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going through the forest of Jharikhanda, and while chanting and dancing in the forest, there were so many animals, deer and elephants and tigers. And seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting and dancing, they felt like they were seeing an old friend. And the deer began licking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, and they began chanting and dancing. And the tigers also began chanting and dancing. Balabhadra Bhattacharya had already hidden himself in the bushes. Tigers are very serious business. You know, the size of the tiger's paw are really big, and nails are really serious, and teeth, and you know, tigers do serious damage. Fierce animals, you know, they're like designed by, you know, like for military duty, you know, they're just heavy duty, destructive capabilities. Tigers. So the tigers came out of the bushes when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting. Balabhadra Bhattacharya went into some other bushes. But the tigers began chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. And the tigers and deer were embracing and kissing. Like the way devotees sit around and dance. Tigers and the deer. Deer is the food for the tiger. But they were chanting and dancing. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya related this to Haridas Thakur. Of course, the scholars will say, well, according to the legends, and the followers of Chaitanya have devised some interesting stories to justify their deification of the Tathagata. But the devotees accept that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is the difficulty? And he has such influence, he has such power. These are small things. What can't he do? Vasudeva Jeev Lagi Koilo Nibena Tove Angikar Koilo Jeevir Mocha. When your devotee Vasudev Dutt submitted his plea at your lotus feet for the deliverance of all living entities, you accepted that request. Vasudev Dutt requested that please deliver all the living beings in the universe. And if you think they're too sinful, they don't deserve to go, then just transfer their sins to me and deliver them. Jagat nishtarite he tomar avatar bhakta bhav age date kaila angikar. You've accepted the form of a devotee just to deliver all the fallen souls of the world. Jagat nishtarite he tomar avatar. In this incarnation you've come bhakta bhav in the mood of a devotee just to deliver everyone. Uchchasan kirtan tate korila prachar sthira chara jivar shab kandaila shamshar. You've preached the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and in this way freed all moving and non-moving living entities from material bondage. Prabhukade, sab jeev mukti javipade, eta brahmanda tave jiva shunya hame. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, if all living entities were liberated, the entire universe would be devoid of living beings. Haridasa bole, tamar javat mortyajtiti, tabat sthabara jangama, Sarva Jeev Jati Shabhumukta Kori Tumi Vaikunte Padaiva Sukshma Jive Punakorme Udbhutta Kuriva. My Lord, as long as you are situated within the material world, you will send to the spiritual sky all the developed moving and non-moving living entities in different species. Then again, you will awaken the living entities who are not yet developed and engage them in activities.
She jib habe ihas tavara jangam tahate bhalibe brahmanda jena purvasha.
In this way, all moving and non-moving living entities will come into existence, and the entire universe will be filled as it was previously. Purport. While we are preaching, opposing elements sometimes argue, if all living entities were delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, what would happen then? The universe would be devoid of living entities. In answer to this, we may say that in a prison there are many prisoners, but if one thinks that the prison would be empty if all the prisoners adopted good behavior, he's incorrect. Even if all the prisoners within a jail are freed, other criminals will fill it again. A prison will never be vacant, for there are many prospective criminals who will fill the prison cells, even if the present criminals are freed by the government. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Karanam Gunasambhasya Sadasa Yogi Janusu. Because of the living entity's association with material nature, he meets with good and evil among various species. There are many unmanifested living entities covered by the mode of ignorance who will gradually come to the mode of passion. Most of them will become criminals because of their fruitive activities and again, the prisons.
Well, this is, who's heard this argument before? What if everyone took to Krishna consciousness?
So what if everybody became a Hare Krishna? Then what would happen? Who would work? What would happen? Nothing would go on. What if everyone became a brahmachari? Then everything would be finished. There'd be no more children. Yay! But this is not an imminent danger. The likelihood of the whole world becoming brahmachari is fairly small. So if a few become brahmacharis just to keep balance in the universe, what's the harm there? If a few out of so many thousands and thousands and millions of non-brahmacharis, if a few become brahmacharis, it won't be the end of the world. As they say, it's not the end of the world. And if a few people become Krishna conscious, it's not the end of the world. It's not that the world will stop because a few people become devotees. They give that argument, what if everybody became Krishna conscious? They never give the argument, what if everybody went to Harvard University? What if everybody became a doctor? What if everybody volunteered to serve their country by joining the military? They never give that kind of argument. Just only, what if everybody became a Hare Krishna? Then it's the end of the world. And we're supposed to take that kind of argument very seriously. I mean, it's like a showstopper right there. What if everybody?
What if everybody did anything? You know, what if everybody worked for the Bank of America? What if everybody was a taxi driver? What if everybody was a safety inspector? What if everybody? It's the wildest argument, and we're supposed to take it. Yeah, what if everybody became a congressman? But first of all, it doesn't look like everybody's going to become a Hare Krishna, but even let's say that everyone did. Let's say everyone in the world became a Hare Krishna, and everyone went back to Godhead. Well, then the world would be empty. Well, it's terrible. You know, what if all the prisoners reformed and became model citizens? Oh my God, the prisons would all be empty. What do we do? What if all the patients in the hospitals were cured? Then what would happen? We'd have all these empty hospitals. You can see the newspapers now. Empty hospital crisis. We don't mind if all the living entities go back to Godhead and the world becomes empty. Great. Super excellent. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this was what would happen. If the whole world became Krishna conscious, then it would fill up again. Because there's so many more living beings elsewhere, they would fill up the universe. If you empty a glass or an atmosphere full of water or steam or something, it fills up again. So the universe would fill up, and this is what happens according to Haridas Thakur. That while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present, he delivers actually all the living beings, the whole world. They're all the direct and indirect sankirtan, the loud chanting in its echo, whole universe is emptied out. Everybody goes back to that. And then it fills up again. I can't think of, you know, those boats really have to empty out the water that collects in the bottom. It's just a perpetual thing, because as soon as you empty it out, more water seeps in. Or something like that. There's always candidates for criminal life. What is that? Purusha prakriti stogi puntej prakriti shankaranam karam guna sangasya. There are always some living entities who have this idea of exploiting the resources of material energy and enjoy. Purusha prakriti stogi puntej. They have the idea of enjoying the products of the illusory energy. And therefore they become entangled in the illusory energy and take birth in different species of life, some higher, some lower. This is always there. So this Sankirtan movement will never be out of work. It's never that there'll be, well, now the work is fine, everyone's gone back to God. Even if everyone goes to them, new candidates will come. So this is the one occupation in which there'll never be unemployment. Spreading Krishna consciousness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is desiring that this should happen. And he came and delivered so many unlimited numbers of living beings, but he desired that his followers should continue this Sankirtan movement, very loudly proclaiming the glories of the Lord and delivering more and more living entities, conditioned souls, by calling back to God. Okay, let's start for some questions.
I heard in one Radhyatra video, Prabhupada says that if everybody chants Hare Krishna, this material world would become like Vaikuntha.
Yes. Everyone.
chanted Hare Krishna, the material world would be Vaikuntha. Actually, the whole world is Vaikuntha, but it's a portion of it is covered by a cloud. Actually, the whole, every place is the kingdom of God. But there's a portion of the kingdom of God which is covered by a cloud in the form of materialistic consciousness. So if you blow away that cloud, then the material world also becomes as good as Vaikuntha. So other questions?
You said it seems unlikely that everybody's going to become Hare Krishna.
It does seem unlikely. You never know. Could happen, but it does seem unlikely.
The golden age, how much are we due to expect?
In the golden age, there's always got to be an opposition party. Otherwise, there's no fun. We were talking about that the other day in a radio interview. How is it that a pure devotee sees everyone who's engaged in Krishna's service? Yes, even Kamsa is engaged in Krishna's service. Because without Kamsa, there's no pastime. All this, fun and Vrindavan can't happen without Kamsa. Kamsa has to send the daily demon for Krishna to enjoy dispatching. Without Kamsa's cooperation, the Vrindavan pastimes would lack that feature of demon killing, destruction of demons. And Krishna likes it. And the devotees like it too. Everyone likes to see what you. Even I see all these posters around London with some kind of low-class guys punching one another out. Right? We've seen those posters. There's some sort of tournament or something. Guys punching one another. And when if you have a taste for those things, you go and when people are punching one another out, it's great. It's wonderful. Well, I'm really not to daylight sound effect. So it's a source of enjoyment. But when Krishna kills demons and he shoves his fist down Keshi's throat and flips him, and when he expands himself inside of Agmasura and pops his spirit soul out of his body, all of these things, the devotees are just cheering. The demigods are showering flowers. They don't do that for prize fighters, showers in the sky. Just a batch of low-class drunk people saying, But when Krishna kills demons, then the demigods are showering flowers, and the Gandharvas are beating drums, and all the devotees become happy. And none of that can happen without Kamsa. Kamsa is the one who sends all these demons over to Vrindavan. He's like supplies. Sometimes we used to send about different kinds of fruits or different kinds of sweets from different parts of the world, some of the devotees would send. So Kamsa used to devotedly send demons to Vrindavan to try to kill Krishna. And Krishna used to turn it around and kill them. And Kamsa would try. Gotta hand it to him, he was persistent. So that's also appreciated. The fullness of the absolute truth is not manifested without this tension. Without this tension. You don't see how great a hero is unless he's got somebody to fight about. Douglas MacArthur, the big American general, just walking down the street with a batch of friends, he's nobody. He's somebody when there's, enemy forces lined up in state against him. Then he gets to show who he is. Then he gets to show his stuff. What is that? Sukhinath Prithviyad Paratam. Happy are the countries to whom these opportunities for fighting come even unsought. So Krishna becomes very happy while these demons are coming. So we get to have more fun today. Wonder what kind of thing we're playing next. But this is all sport for Krishna, and it's all thanks to Kamsa Prabhu. He says. He sends all these demons to kill Krishna, and in that way Krishna's glories are manifest. So in this world also, the antagonistic party, or the reluctant party, those who are against Sankirtan or just not interested, they outline the glories of the Sankirtan movement. They provide the edge. They provide the edge, just in sports, you know, it's like pushing the edge. That's what, so they form the edge, the demons and the non-devotees. So they provide the sport, the engagement, the challenge. How are we going to make these people? Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what are we going to do about these Mayavadis? Making, there were a lot of devotees, they were easy to make. What are we going to do about these Mayavadis? How are we going to make them devotees? He had some plan after the Buddha Mayavadis. Similarly, he's thinking, how will the others be delivered? So this is a devotee. He's always saying, how are these people, these impossible people, going to be delivered? And he's making some plans and schemes. The Prabhupada has so many schemes, life membership scheme, Bhakti Vedanta Institute scheme, restaurant scheme, book distribution scheme, so many different ways to try to capture people and benefit them. How to improve them. So that's necessary. Even if there's a grand Sankirtan movement for 10,000 years spreading all over the world, there have to be some means to make it good. Okay? Yeah. All glories to the demons. From that point of view. Even the demons become glorious when they're engaged in Krishna's pastimes. There's some mention in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that when some demon heard that Kamsa had been killed, he began rolling on the ground and foaming in the mouth. So that means he was displaying symptoms of ecstasy. Yes, the Buddha Shami says it was like at least a glimmer of ecstatic symptoms, because he was showing these manifestations on account of Krishna's pastimes. So there's a kind of excellence in that sense. Somehow to be connected with Krishna, even as a demon. That same thing, we were talking about that in the beginning, that even negligently chanting Pajami has got such wonderful benefits. What to speak of those who are chanting attentively. Gopis, Nagapatnis also said the same thing. What did our husband do? What pious activities did he perform? But he's so fortunate that you're banging his head. His hoods with your feet. You're smashing his hoods with your lotus feet. What pious activities did he perform? Even Brahma couldn't get the best of your lotus feet. And this serpent is getting it, you know, stamped into his skull. Well, how fortunate it is. So if one becomes fortunate even by being smashed by Krishna, then how fortunate does one become to be embraced by Krishna? Even the poisonous snake who was polluting the Jamuna became fortunate when Krishna snatched him. Then how fortunate do the devotees become who are offering love and devotion to Krishna?
last week, verses right before this, he was saying that, how Prabhupada said that some of the devotees had been associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Mm.
And then one someone asked, but I thought everybody had been deluded.
Mm.
So Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, that's not necessarily literal.
Mm. I can tell you a story. There's one devotee, he's no longer with us, his name is Subal. He, in the early days of the movement, before I came, there was this story going around 22nd Avenue that all the devotees, not just some, all the devotees had been associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was like Prabhupada said, it was like your Guru Raj is saying me. My Guru Raj is saying me. So this was going around, and all the devotees had been associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went to Srila Prabhupada, and he asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, is it true that we're all associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Prabhupada said, yes. And Subal, he was just sitting there, glowing. And then Prabhupada said, everybody is. Everyone's an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because we forgot, that's all. Tell me the question again.
Really ask Krishna Kshetri, is it literal that all the living entities, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally present, you deliver? No, it's just a general state. Everybody is delivered, but it's not necessarily a literal statement. So it's a literal statement. How do you judge this?
This is a very interesting question.
Absolutely.
How we interpret what we read. And of course we say, no, we don't interpret it, we just accept it as it is. But accepting as it is also a kind of interpretation. Because we have to understand, even in the English language, what does this mean? What does that mean? What does exalted mean? What does delivered mean? What does yadna mean? What does holy name mean? Somehow has to go through some sort of processing unit and be recognized as something that we have some sort of understanding of. And my understanding and your understanding may not be exactly the same because my experience and my processing unit is somehow different. So we all interpret. But our policy is that we closely interpret, that we take it that what's being stated is meant as it is, unless indicated otherwise. There are things where it's clearly said this is an allegory, this isn't. You know, King Karajana represents something. It's not that there's, it's not to be taken literally. Otherwise, our reading tends to be literal. What you see is what you get. This is how it is. But I won't try to interpret Krishna Kshetra Prabhu because he's close by. He can interpret himself.
I was thinking in general, in the book of BBC published our original position, one of the arguments made was that often, absolute or extreme language in all the languages of the world, including Sanskrit, including the scripture, is not intended. Always, eternally.
Yeah.
It's sometimes intended to be taken literally, and sometimes it's intended to be taken more as a general.
Yeah, I haven't read the book, but what we mean by things. For example, if we say, to try to figure things out literally sometimes get, even like to say we fell from the spiritual world. Okay, that's a simple thing to understand. We were there and then we fell. Easy. Only thing is there's no time. In the spiritual world there's no time, but we fell, past tense, from the spiritual world. Now that's very easy to understand, isn't it? Except now explain the time aspect of it. You know, it's like a simple thing. Jack and Jill went downhill and they fell or something. They went, you get the story now. I haven't studied my years since we're reading. So they went up and then after that they fell. That's the story of Jesus. So that's easy to understand. Now, how did they fall if there were no time? How could they have fallen? I'll just give you a little explanation of how they fell, minus time. So things get dicey. You know, we have a literal understanding that we fell from the spiritual world, but then you just introduce this one little wrinkle into it that there's no time, and suddenly we have a hard time computing what we mean that we fell. And that requires some sort of adjusting. And some will say, no, we didn't fall, and some will say, we're always fallen, and Prabhupada will say, you'll never understand it. Don't try to understand it, just try to get out. Because you're going to turn your little brain to, I mean, the brain is already like little, it has all those little knots in it and everything, but you're going to make it knottier. So Prabhupada's advice was, you just give up, don't try to understand this, it's not going to work. Just try to get out. But perhaps that serves as an example of what we sometimes run into with our literal understanding. And we favor, you know, it should be taken literally. But then, well, all right, what's literal? We run into that. But Prabhupada's, that said, Prabhupada's approach was simple, straightforward. That what the text says we accept. Then sometimes we have to explain how it's literally true. And then you're in the realm of interpretation. Even if you're saying, you know, someone says, no, that's not literally true. Okay, then now you're explaining what the text means by saying it's not literally true. Someone else says, no, it's literally true. But he has to explain also how it's literally true. So either way, you get into explanation. Either way, you get into explanation. Or, just, it's literally true and I can't explain it. That's also acceptable. Beats me. You know, my little pea brain, I don't understand it. It's accepted. That's fine. You know, the little ant doesn't understand the Empire State Building. Okay, it's not a fault. You're an ant. We don't understand everything. Okay? That's your science, but we will. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.